can the Obama administration cut the deficit in half by his, the end of his first term, by all these spending proposals that you're seeing?
They can cut it in half, but it's important to understand that it's still going to remain very high. So they're making a worst-case scenario, which actually is laudatory. It's good that they're more realistic, that they're very transparent. It's very accountable. But that being said, it makes it easier to improve on. So once you take away the stimulus over the next couple years, once hopefully the economy recovers, it's not too hard to let things go on autopilot to cut things in half, but it's still going to remain extremely high in terms of deficit.
Are we going to need Sully to be the pilot on this plane? It's going to be on autopilot. How do you put on autopilot budget reductions?
If you take away the stimulus, it's all relative to the baseline, right, what you're expecting.
Sure.
So if you take away the stimulus the next couple of years, that tapers off. If the economy starts showing some positive signs and maybe even goes into positive territory, then you're going to get increased revenues, and some of the automatic stablers like unemployment and so on are going to go down. So this is just going to improve things relative to now. That being said, what they're looking at in a couple years is still a budget deficit that is higher than the former record budget deficit of last year. So
yes,
we're not talking about a return to a low deficit scenario.
And so that, I mean, there are entitlement programs that they're talking about, you know, maybe looking into to see if they can find some budget savings there. Talking about offering health care to unemployed, those that are unemployed, and getting unemployment insurance. It seems to me that they're doing what stores do sometimes. They'll increase their prices and then have a sale to bring them back down. Is that what we're seeing in the Obama budget? Increasing spending in order to bring it back down, to make it look as though it's being reduced when actually it's overall being increased?
I think that they are going to be returning to, like, say, a new higher baseline, if you will. They should get some credit for being more realistic, for getting things out in the public, out in the open, and that has a cost, because then you see how tough things are. But we shouldn't overdo the improvement scenario. We're still going to be in a couple years at a level that, if continued, is unsustainable given our entitlement challenges in the longer run.
A lot of ifs in your statements there, Ann. Is what, unlike some, I guess, previous attempts that we can recall of trying to rein in budget, whether it was that the Graham Rudman effort at one time or various summits to do things, there doesn't seem to be what I'll call a sort of firm restraint in the budget, some real guardrail that will force or trigger reductions or caps.
Absolutely.
And that it seems to be frightening in the age of a bailout.
I think you're absolutely right, and we need to see something like that for the medium run. The trick is not to undercut growth as the economy recovers. You shouldn't withdraw the stimulus until the economy's on stronger footing. But once it is, you need to get that guardrail up. You need to tackle that. And that's what we'll be looking for as this new budget conversation proceeds.
Does this budget conversation have built into it some deficit reduction? Because if it's we're hearing this figure of $3 trillion, but that may be sound high because it's going to account for the drawdown in the Afghanistan and Iraq. I'm assuming Iraq, not Afghanistan, but it's going to account for, you know, most of the spending that was done off budget before in a special appropriation. Is that the reason why it's so high?
Well, we haven't seen the details yet,
yeah,
but that's a considerable part of it, that they're just being more realistic. So we can't get overly scared by that particular number, but we have to face it and we have to manage it. And we've got challenges in the long term that we've got to take care of.
It doesn't sound like a rosy scenario for the country. I mean, we are borrowing unprecedented amounts of cash.
We are, and it mounts up. And we don't have savings. We're dependent on savings from the rest of the world. So we need to get our fiscal house in order. But the trick is, we can't do it too soon and too quickly to undercut the growth that we need to return to.
Andy, you think citizens, when seeing these deficit projections and the economy in the state it is, are going to rather do what we would hope Congress would do, which would be thrifty in their own personal lives, and which therefore doesn't, the thriftiness doesn't really lead to a lot of economic growth. So it's a, is it a bit of a mixed signal there?
Yeah, and this is a huge problem for the economy, that on the one hand, you need that kind of consumption to get the economy going again. On the other hand, people are worried, so they want to protect themselves. And that's totally understandable, but putting my economist hat back on, we need people to spend and to save less right now. In a few years, we need the reverse. But, you know, you can't tell people not to take precautionary savings. It's just when things start returning to normal, you'll see that reflected in the balance that people have between their savings and their spending.
So you expect President Obama to tell Americans to go shopping?
I think he has.